إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فيا إخوتي وأخواتي الكرام أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى فقد قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. My beloved and respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I remind you and myself first and foremost to have the consciousness and the piety and the taqwa of Allah, to fear Him in open and secret, because it is through the taqwa of Allah that all of our calamities are warded off and all goodness comes towards us. It is through the taqwa of Allah that Allah raises nations and people, and it is by leaving the taqwa of Allah that Allah humiliates and causes people to be in loss. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, today I speak to you of one of the most important and noblest human qualities, and one of the noblest actions that a person can have, and by it a person is raised in nobility and rank. It is one of the 99 names of Allah Azza wa Jal, Ar-Rahman, the Rahmah. Allah has placed in the hearts of every human being Rahmah. Rahmah for others, Rahmah for children, Rahmah for animals. And this is a quality that is one of the noblest of human qualities. In fact, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ states that Allah created mercy, Rahmah, in 100 parts, and he placed one part of that mercy in the earth, on the earth. And by that one part of Rahmah, the animals, they show mercy to their children. A mother horse, a mare, she lifts her leg to avoid trampling on her child. And if you ever see a bird, a mother bird in her nest, she extends her wing over the little birdlings in her nest. This mercy of everything that we see in creation, all of the animals, for one another, for their children, this is one part of 100 parts of mercy. And the 99 parts that remain, Allah has saved for the Day of Judgment. He has saved for His servants on the Day of Judgment. This hadith is narrated by Bukhari. And so we see, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, that mercy and rahmah is the teaching of Islam. It is one of the most salient qualities of Islam. In fact, every surah in the Quran, except for one, Surah Bara'ah, begins with the attributes of Allah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Bismillahi Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And the name of Allah, the Merciful, the Compassionate. And this is also a reminder for us, a reminder for all believers, that Islam is a religion of mercy. Islam is a religion that came to establish mercy and justice and peace and prosperity for all the righteous people on earth, and to call people to the worship of Allah and away from all evil. The Prophet ﷺ himself, he's described as a mercy to all of humanity. Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. This is called, إِلَّا is called أَدَاةُ حَصَرٍ in Arabic. Allah has not sent the Prophet ﷺ except as a mercy to whom? Lil mu'mineen. Allah says, lil alameen. The Prophet ﷺ, his being sent to this earth is a mercy for all of the worlds. Lil alameen. To all of humanity, to all creatures on earth, to every human being. The Prophet ﷺ is a mercy. The religion that he brought, Islam, is a mercy to all of humanity. If only we knew and reflected upon this. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah says, Allah, the Messenger of Allah, He says, "Irham man fil ard, yarhamuka man fis sama." This is narrated by Abu Dawood. The Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Show mercy to those on earth, and the one in the heavens will show mercy to you." This is a rule that Islam teaches, that if we show mercy to others, then Allah will show mercy to us. This is the calling of Islam for all of humanity, to show mercy to one another, for people to show mercy to one another, for nations, and tribes, and people to be kind and merciful to one another. Be merciful to those on earth, and the one in the heavens will be merciful to you. And the Prophet ﷺ, he also said, that was narrated in Bukhari and Muslim, Allah does not show mercy to those who do not show mercy to others. Those who are cruel and harsh to others, then Allah will not show mercy to them. Allah will not have mercy on them. This is how important mercy is in Islam, how important rahmah in Islam is. And not only does Islam command us to show mercy to one another, to Muslims, but even towards non-Muslims, to all of humanity, we've been commanded not to harm one another. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Mercy is not removed from anyone's heart except he is a wretched one." He is shaqa. This is narrated by Abu Dawood. One time, a Bedouin man, he saw the Prophet ﷺ kissing the head of his child, Hassan or Hussein. And the Bedouin said, "How can you kiss children?" He thought it was something strange to kiss a child. He said, "I have 10 children and I've never kissed any one of them." So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "What can I do if Allah has deprived you of mercy?" Allah has deprived him of mercy. Kissing a child is from the beautiful qualities of a believer. And in fact, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Whoever does not respect our elders and show mercy to our young is not from us." Narrated by Ahmad. Showing mercy to the young is a quality of a believer. So much so that being harsh to the young and being disrespectful to the elders, the Prophet ﷺ said, he is not from us. He is not from those who follow my sunnah. So mercy to one another, mercy to our children, this is a command of the Prophet ﷺ. In fact, it's narrated in Bukhari and Muslim that once there were after a battle, there were some people brought, there was a woman looking desperately for her child. And it was a young child. And when she found the child, she grabbed the child and held the baby close to her chest and began to breastfeed the child as if she was so relieved, finally had found her child. And the Prophet ﷺ, he turned to his companions and he said, "Do you think this woman would ever throw her child into a fire?" And they said, "How could she, Ya Rasulullah? She wouldn't even put her child down. How could she throw him to a fire?" So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Lallahu arhamu bi'ibadihi min hadihi li'ibniha." This is narrated in Bukhari and Muslim. Allah is more merciful to His servants than this mother is to her child. We see the mercy of Allah to His servants. And so mercy is one of the noblest qualities and the most important qualities of a believer. Also, my beloved and respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Islam not only teaches mercy for human beings, but even for animals, even for all creatures on earth. The Prophet ﷺ was once walking in a garden of an Ansari man, and he came across a camel. And the camel, it had tears in its eyes, and it had a look of distress on its face. So the Prophet ﷺ took his beloved hands and wiped the tears of the camel. And then he said, "Where is the owner of this beast? Where is the owner of this camel?" And the Ansari man, he came forward. And the Prophet said, "Do you not fear Allah in this animal? Do you not fear Allah for this animal that Allah has given in your possession? It complained to me that you starve it. The Prophet ﷺ said, "This camel told me that you starved." SubhanAllah. The mercy that he had for animals. Even a beast, he called to its owner and reprimanded him for leaving him and not feeding him properly. And also, we've been forbidden in Islam to hunt animals without need or for sport, or to make a target out of animals. Once there was some people who had tied a sparrow up as a target and they were shooting arrows at it. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Why are you doing that?" He forbade him from that. And he said, "Do you know that whoever kills a sparrow in vain, that sparrow will come on the Day of Judgment and cry to Allah for help and say, 'Oh my Lord, so and so killed me in vain and did not kill me for any useful purpose.' This bird will bear witness against him on the Day of Judgment." The Prophet ﷺ, he told his companions not to harm even a sparrow or a bird, because it will bear witness against them on the Day of Judgment. This was also narrated by Nasa'i, Imam Nasa'i. And we also know, again, another time when the Prophet was away with his companions, and some of them found a nestling, some baby birds in a nest. So they climbed up and they took the baby birds out of the nest, and they took them to play with them. And so the mother bird came and started flying in circles looking for her children and crying out. And the Prophet ﷺ called out to his companions, and he said, "Who has terrorized this mother bird? Give her back her children." He called out to his companions for a little bird, for a mother bird. He said, "Give her back her children." So Islam, it taught us to manifest compassion and rahmah on all levels, in all places in society. Whenever we're in a position of leadership, any person, the head of the family, or the head of a business, or the head of a nation, he has to show mercy to those under his authority. This is what Islam has taught Muslims to do. So Allah, He commands us to have mercy in all affairs in life. And the Prophet ﷺ also said, "Certainly Allah will punish those who subject other people to torment in this world." We have been forbidden from tormenting any person or harming any person with torture. And this is the noble qualities that mankind is in so much in need of. Humanity today is crying out for rahmah. But we live in a world where the language is of power and the strong punishing the weak. But rahmah, it means the strong protecting the weak. This is what rahmah means. The one who has strength and authority, he has mercy for the weak. He helps the weak. And you see how the Prophet ﷺ, throughout his life, he struggled throughout his life to help the women, the orphan, the poor, to support those who did not have strength on earth. So what about those children that are crying and suffering today from hunger? Who will speak for them? They don't have power. They don't have any way to make their voices heard. Which one of us will speak on their behalf and make effort on their behalf? Which one of us will speak the truth in defense of the poor and the hungry and the starving? My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we also know that Islam teaches that no person bears the burden of another. No child bears the burden of the father. No person from any nation or tribe or religion bears the burden of others who committed a crime or a sin. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, "La taziru waziratun wizra ukhra." No bearer of burdens can be punished or be held accountable for the crimes of others. But how often do we see entire nations, entire ethnicities being cleansed and wiped away because of collective guilt, something that Islam came to abolish? No person is accountable for the crimes of another. How many of the genocides and the wars that took place because of this belief that entire people and nations and tribes are accountable, they're collectively guilty? Islam erased that from humanity, and it taught that every individual is to be accountable for his own deeds and no one else's. How much can the world benefit from the teachings of Islam? How much can we, and how much does the world stand in need of this Prophet of Mercy, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to learn from his teachings, to learn from the mercy that he brought to the world? Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Indeed, the Messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a mercy to all of humanity and all of creation and everything that exists. He was a mercy to even every single thing that exists on this earth. We ask Allah to grant us mercy and make us of the merciful ones, so that He will show mercy to us on the Day of Judgment. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم استغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, today we live in a world where the image of Islam has been tarnished through the media, when everyone looks upon Islam as if it is a religion that teaches harm and violence, when in fact the reality in the haqq is that Islam has brought peace wherever it has gone in history. It has brought peace and justice and mercy wherever it has gone in history. And so it is our job now to rectify and purify and call people to the true message of Islam. And we see that one of the things that we can do, alhamdulillah, is opening the masjid to those who are not Muslim, so that they can come and see the true image of Islam, so they can come and see true Muslims, and they can remove the false ideas that they have about Islam. Alhamdulillah, tomorrow they're having a program, and inshallah, all of you, I invite you to bring invite your colleagues, your neighbors, to come to the house of Allah, to learn the truth about Islam, to see the true image of Islam, to learn about Islam from Muslims, so they know what Islam really teaches. What are we going to say to Allah on the Day of Judgment when He asks us, your neighbors, they didn't know about Islam. Your colleague at work, you never told him about the haqq. What are we going to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All of us, we have to make an effort to show the true image of Islam to the people, our neighbors in this society. And also, I want to remind you and close with this, about one example of the rahmah of Islam in history. And in the books of history, they record the great and the noble quality of the Muslims when they went throughout the earth. They say, Al-Muslimun kana arhamul fatihin. They were the most merciful conquerors. Wherever they went, the people would welcome them. The people that were oppressed, they would often welcome them. As you know, in Spain, they invited the Muslims. In Spain, the Visigoths, they invited the Muslims. They said, we're being oppressed by the Christians here. Come and help us. So the Muslims, wherever they went, they were the most tolerant and kind and just rulers. And so this example, this story was narrated by Sir Thomas Arnold in a book called The Call to Islam. He records that when Ubaydullah ibn al-Jarrah and his army, they went to the city of Homs in Syria, in Sham in Syria, the Christians there, they opened the gates for the Muslims. And they said, they welcomed Ubaydullah ibn al-Jarrah and the Muslims, and they said, come to our town because the Romans are oppressing us. And we know, we heard about the Muslims, that they're just and they're righteous and they will establish justice and treat us fairly. So they preferred to have the Muslims rule over them than their own brethren, because they knew that the Muslims were just with them. And indeed, what happened is that when the Romans returned and the Muslims could not defend the city, and this is what Sir Thomas Arnold records, the Muslims gave the jizya back to the Christians. They said, we took this jizya as a protection. You don't pay zakat, you do not serve in our army, You pay this jizya as a protection, but we cannot protect you. Here, take your jizya back. And the Christians couldn't believe this. The Muslims are giving us back the money that we gave them, and they said, please stay in the town. We don't want you to leave. And this is what is recorded by non-Muslims about Islamic history. Thomas Arnold, he records this in the book, The Call to Islam. And so we see that Muslims, wherever they went, they brought tolerance and freedom of belief. The Muslims, they didn't force the Christians to become Muslim, but they stayed, and there still remains today in Syria Christians. But the jizya was to prevent, to allow them to live peacefully and in tolerance in Islam, and so that they didn't have to serve in the army or pay zakat. This was the justice that Islam brought. Islam has always brought justice wherever it has gone on earth. So this is the message that we need to show and give to the Muslims, first by showing rahmah in our own homes, to our families, to our children, to animals, to the others in this society, and then on a larger scale, we as an ummah, we should represent the rahmah that the Prophet ﷺ was sent with. We should be the most just and merciful of nations that was sent to the earth. We ask Allah to guide us to the truth and to show the beautiful image of Islam to the other people of the earth and to forgive us for all our shortcomings. And we ask Allah to send His peace and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad and his family and companions. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد إن الله اللهم تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم اغفر لنا جميعا اللهم رد المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا به وما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا به وما لم نعلم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أحسن ختامنا وختام المسلمين أجمعين واستغفر الله وتوبوا إلى الله واذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وأقيموا الصلاة.